Thank you, Paul. I was having a scrolling. There we go. We're going to start a new series of sermons called Summer of Psalms, in which we are going to be... I'm glad, Jeremy, that you're excited for this. I'm actually really excited for this, too. But we're going to be going through some of the Psalms this summer. We're going to spend the whole entire summer in the book of Psalms. And so I encourage you to read along with us. If you have your own personal reading plan, abandon it and go with ours. No, I'm kidding. No, if you're reading the Bible, keep reading the Bible, okay? It's important, but we're going to be reading in Psalms all summer long, which I'm really excited with. But I don't know if you know these things, but Psalms is a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers. They are a collection of these things that came from different eras of king of Israel's history. Many of them are associated with King David, but not all of them. In fact, we find that King David is connected to 73 of the Psalms of the 150. There's also many other authors involved. Asaph wrote 12 poems. The sons of Korah produced 11. By the way, if you've never heard the Sons of Korah, the group, the worship group, they're really good. You should check them out. They're an older group because I'm older. But check them out. They're really good. And other worship leaders in the temple contributed as well. So these are worship leaders. These are people from Israel's history that came together to write these songs, prayers, and psalms. Two are connected to King Solomon, and another one is given to Moses, actually was written by Moses himself. Nearly one-third of the poems, 49 to be exact, are anonymous, meaning 49 of these, we have no clue who wrote them. They're organized psalms, if you don't know this, but if you've never seen this, but if you read in psalms, if you open up your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 will show you something very interesting. At the very title above that in your Bible, you should have something that says Book 1. Psalms is written into five distinct books. And why do we call these books? Why do we call them, how do they get to the separation? Well, there's a beginning and an end to these. And each book will go on to a different portion, a different avenue, a different thought process, if you will. And each one of the books has a beginning and an end. And so when that thought ended, they wrote to the next book. So there's actually five of these books in Psalms. The book of Psalms is an honest praise, honest laments, honest conversations with God. If you read Psalms and you start reading through them, except for the one that we're going to read today, it's literally conversations either through song or through prayer that someone is having with God. Sometimes those are really happy, praising God, it is wonderful, the joy of the Lord, all of these things that we like to celebrate. Sometimes they're prayers of lament. David, for example, has a pretty tragic prayer of lament when he loses his son in Psalms. We also find Psalms where David is praying and asking the Lord to save him from his enemies. Psalm 40, which we'll be talking about eventually, sometime this summer, is a wonderful psalm. How long, O Lord, how long shall I wait, Psalm 40 says. So some of these prayers are literally good prayers. Some of them are literally honest prayers telling God, I'm not doing so good, and I need your help. All of these things are men or people, I should say, who have had conversations or know the depth of reasons why they need to have this conversation with God. The truth of the matter is that these songs represent many people who come together to have these conversations. The problem with us today is that if we were asked to have these types of conversations with God, many of us could not. Why? The reason why is because many fail to have an honest conversation with God. What I mean by that is that if you go and you find that your prayer life is, Lord, I want this, 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 I want this. I almost said it sounded like my wife, but that wouldn't be fair to say, so. Because it's not. She's not that way. But have you ever been with a little kid who wants everything? You walk into a toy store. I want this. I want that. I want this. I want that. I want this. Oftentimes, our prayers as Christians sound like a little kid in a toy store. But conversations, honest conversations with God, honest reading of Psalms, you'll find that sometimes you got to get down and dirty. It's okay to ask God for things. Listen, it's wonderful. When you're sick and you're laying there, you're, oh, Lord, save me, help me, heal me, right? It's okay to pray for that. It's okay to ask for those things. But it also takes an honest person to go before the Lord and say, listen, I messed up. And I need your help, Lord. It takes an honest conversation with God to tell God, you know what, I may not be really happy with where you have me right now. And that's okay. It's okay to be in a place where you can have those conversations with God. God is sovereign, and he's not, listen, whatever you say to him is not going to pull him off his throne. He's there, so have an honest conversation with him. Tell him exactly how you feel and where you're at right now. I find it very interesting that the one who wrote most of the book of Psalms, David, is called a man after God's own heart. But you know, David's life was neither good nor easy. I mean, he was a king, so let's face it. I mean, being a king has its benefits, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about things. There's money that's always there. There's riches and all of those things. But if you look at David's life was not roses. He wasn't your typical king who had no problems and just set up, got fat and ugly inside of a kingdom, inside of a castle, telling other people what to do. David faced giants. He faced all of these things. He faced giants on the outside, and guess what? He also faced giants on the inside, too. David had this adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. And then proceeded to have her husband killed so he didn't have to worry about anyone hearing about what happened. Yet he still called a man after God's own heart. And so if you look at this, you can see that why is David a man after God's own heart? David is a man after God's own heart because he was willing to go before God no matter what the situation he was in. Good, bad, or ugly, or in between. He was there before the Lord, sharing all that he had. My hope is through this series that you'll learn to praise God in all circumstances. The truth is it is for our benefit to have these conversations with God. God already, listen, this is the interesting. I often laugh, not laugh, that's the wrong word. I often wonder about people who come and say, I just don't know what I can say to the Lord. There's nothing you can say to the Lord that he doesn't already know. You can lie to yourself and say, I'm not a sinner, I didn't do these bad things, but you know what? No one else may know, but guess who does know? God knows. So why not go before the Lord and just be honest? Say, Lord, this is what it is. I don't want to be this way, but this is how I am. I need your help to overcome this. To be honest with him. Why not ask, have that honest conversation with God and praise him regardless of what's going on? Learn to have those honest conversations and to follow the example of the last book of Psalms, which tells us that everything that has breath will what? Praise the Lord. That's right. Let's pray and we'll begin in Psalm chapter 1. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives and all that you are doing. Lord, we pray that as we begin this series of sermons for the summer called A Summer of Psalms, that we can celebrate you, rejoice in you, lift you high, Father, but have those honest conversations where we're honest with ourselves and honest with you, Father, where we can learn to praise in the bad times and praise in the good times, where we can learn to tell you when we've messed up and look for your help on the other side. Father, lead us and guide us. Help us to do your will. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own and that you would guide us and direct us. Holy Spirit, come and open our ears and our eyes. Be with us, convict us, move us so that we can do your will, Father, in this place as we prepare for your kingdom and the place to come. Lord, let my words not be my own. Let them truly be your words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Before I read this, I guess I'm a storyteller, as I said before, but this was the very first, when I was in seminary, the very first homework I ever had to do was commit Psalm 1 to memorization. Don't ask me to do it now, because that was 20 years ago, but it's a wonderful psalm, and I want to go over the psalm because there's so many things in the psalm that we can talk about. But let's read Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. An amazing psalm, a story, and as I told you before, there's literally the first two chapters of Psalms are written by an unknown author. We don't know who wrote this, but I think they're perfectly fitted in the book of Psalms and why they are there. It tells us how we can have the rest of the book. Listen, to have a psalm of praise, to have a song, a prayer to God, you have to have a relationship with God. A few weeks ago, I tried to have a conversation with someone that had no clue who I was. I had no clue who they were, but I wanted to have a conversation with them. And it was really funny. This person goes, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the son. I'm a child of the living God." They looked at me and said, "Okay, see ya." The truth of the matter is when you have a relationship with someone, you can have a conversation with them. There are certain people that I can have conversations with, right? There's certain people that you can have conversations with. The more you know someone, the more you're going to have a conversation with them. The more open you will be with them. The less relationship you have with someone, the less open you'll probably be. We find in Psalm chapter 1 that it takes two things to have an honest conversation with God. It takes Jesus and obedience. Psalm 1 and 2, as I said before, are the introduction to the first book of Psalms. And it focuses on those two things, obedience and Jesus. Now, some of you might be going, hold up. How is Jesus in the book of Psalms? Well, it's interesting that you say this because the book of Psalms, even though it was written 1,000 years before Jesus would be on this earth, there's more prophetic messages of Jesus in the book of Psalms than there is anywhere else in Scripture. So tell me that it wasn't planned out somehow. You can tell me whatever you want, but speak to the hand. The face don't want to hear it, okay? The very truth of the matter is that Jesus is all over the book of Psalms. Psalm 22 tells us about the crucifixion. It's the simple fact that God has written the story so he knows what's going to happen before the time ever comes to pass. Psalm 22, I mean, if you open up, we'll eventually get there, but if you open up Psalm 22 and you read Psalm 22, it's all about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How was that written 1,000 years before if it wasn't planned out? It was, because we have an almighty God who is already at the beginning. He was at the beginning, he's already at the end, and he's everywhere in between. These two things that you have to have an honest conversation with God is Jesus and obedience. Let's look a little bit deeper into those. So, because one of the questions that I often ask is, why do I have to have a conversation? Why do I have to have Jesus to have a conversation with an honest conversation with God? Well, it's simply this. Jesus paved the way for you to have a relationship with God the Father. Before Jesus, we were unable to have a relationship with God the Father because our sin got in the way. What Jesus did on the cross was pave over our sins with his blood, making the path clear to God the Father so that we can have that conversation. I'll talk about the obedience part in a moment. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." See, blessed is the man who stays away from evil. Jesus made it possible for you and I to stay away from evil. Jesus made it possible for you and I not to fall or stand in the way of sinners. This poetry that is used in Psalm chapter 1 is a beautiful thing, but what it really means is stop doing stupid things. That's my poetry, my Psalm of 2025, right? But the truth of the matter is that Psalms 1 tells us that blessed is the man. Anyone here not want to be blessed? I do. I want to be blessed. All of us should want to be blessed. Every single person wants to be blessed. And so if we want to be blessed, what do we need to do? Well, the psalm tells us exactly what it is. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. What does that mean? Stop taking advice from people who are wicked. I'm going to say this a lot today. It's really not that hard to follow Jesus. It's pretty simple. Don't do evil things, do good things, and guess what? You'll find Jesus in those places. Too many Christians want to have a relationship with Jesus, but they still want to do the evil things that they've always done. They want to have one foot in the grave and one foot in heaven, and that split hurts really bad, especially the older you get. The psalm tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Don't take advice from someone. Listen, I want to be with people who don't know the Lord. I do. I want to be with people. I want to share the gospel. I feel like it's more important today than it ever has been for us to go and find people who don't know the Lord, share the gospel, share our story, as we talked about for the last 6 weeks, but sharing your story and sharing your testimony, sharing the story of God. But I'm not going to take advice from them. See, there's a difference. There's a difference to go into someone's life and share what you have to encourage them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ than to receive from them. Scripture tells us to be transformed the world, not conformed to the world. There's a difference there. When we are transforming the world, what we are doing is we are changing it. We're showing the world who Jesus is, and we're changing the world by showing love like Jesus would show. We're doing all of those things. When we are conforming to the world, it begins to look like the church, it begins to look like the world. And that's a scary thought. If you look like the world, as I used to say, and smell like the world, then you're probably of the world. There's not really too many differences there. But this scripture goes on to say, nor stands in the way of sinners. You ever been in front of someone that was heaven bent on doing something really bad? See how I changed that? You like that? They're so mad, so angry, they don't get out of my way. I don't care who you are. I'm just going to go and do it. When Psalms tells us not to stand in the way of sinners, what he's saying is, listen, if you choose to sin, that's your choice. I told you, listen, you can't force someone to not sin. They have to have their own choice to choose not to sin. It's not your choice on them. I wish it was. I wish I could take my choice of not sinning I have my own sins. We're going to get to that in a moment. But I have my own issues I have to take care of. But if I have something, I wish I could go to someone and say, listen, just don't pick up the bottle. Just don't do that stupid thing. We can't do that. They have to choose to do that because, as Psalm 1 says, that if we stand in the way of sinners, what's going to happen? You're going to get run over. And then finally it says, sit in the seat of scoffers. What does it mean to sit in the seat of scoffers? I like this phrase up here, though. Why would you stand with sinners when Jesus made a way for you to walk with God? Why would you stand or listen, take advice from sinners when Jesus made a way for you to hear from, take advice from Him, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father? Why would you do that? Why would you take advice from someone who has absolutely no idea about your relationship with Christ, but not go to the one that knows everything about you? We need to abandon the evil, walk away from it, actually run from it. If you have God, you can't have evil. Think about this. God is not evil. God is good. The devil is evil. You can't have both in the same place. There is no evil where God is. And so if you're doing something, if you're sinning, you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, guess what? You're inviting the devil into your life and you're kicking God out of your life. And so stop doing it. Throw away the things that cause you to fall to that temptation. Throw away the things that cause you to fall in those things. Walk away from them. Put a wall up. Block them. Get rid of the friends who cause you to sin. Listen, I don't say this often, but if you have friends who are influencing you to do things that you should not be doing, get rid of them. It's the best thing that you could ever do. Listen, sometimes a healthy bowel movement is needed, and that includes in our friend list too. Get rid of them. Seriously. Why? Why would you want to keep something around that's causing you to be dragged down into the dirt, into the miry clay? I'm sorry, Rich. I just had to say it that way. It comes out better that way. You need to find new friends, new people. You need to find new people that will encourage you and lift you up in your relationship with Christ. If they're not doing that, then are they really your friends to begin with? If they're arguing against you and your relationship with Christ, then they don't care about yourself. They just care about what they want. They don't care about their salvation. They don't care about your salvation. So get rid of them. It's not hard. Again, we make this so difficult. Oh, it's so hard. No, it's not. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Right? I mean, honestly, I don't want to be. Never mind. I said it enough. Your old ways are supposed to be dead, but if you walk with the dead way, soon enough, you'll be also dead again. When you come to Christ, Christ tells us to die to ourselves. To let our old ways die. We walk away from our old ways. But what happens when we walk with people who are still in our old ways? Guess what? Those old ways, those old bones begin to rattle, begin to shake. And soon enough, you'll find those old bones that were dead that you cast out back alive inside of you, that it will then take you to the grave as well. Get rid of them. Walk away from them. The kingdom is our home. This world is not our home. This world is not the place that we're going to be at for eternity. We are merely passing through this place. Don't stand with sinners when Jesus made a way for you to walk with God. Number two is an interesting one, and it begins to talk about obedience. This verse, verse two says, "But delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." See, the interesting question is, if you're not obedient, are you really following Jesus? If you're not obedient to Jesus, then are you really following him? Show me what you are obedient to, and I will show you what you are faithful to. It's very easy. Because what you make important in your life is what you are faithful to. If Jesus was important to you and you were obedient to Jesus, then you would be following his commandments. You would be following his law, his words, everything that he says. You would be reading the scripture. It would be changing you from the inside out, and you would be following him. The writer clearly tells us that how we can be a blessed person if we stay away from evil, but then delight in the law of the Lord. In fact, if you know the truth of Scripture, you will be obedient. And when you are obedient, you will yield good fruit. The verse tells us that he is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Well, that's great. How are we like a tree planted by the streams of water? How do we get planted? You get planted by being obedient to God and meditating on his word day and night. Whoa, Pastor, you're telling me that I always have to be praying? I always have to be reading the Bible? I always have to be... Yes. Scripture should be first in your mind. Your relationship with God should be first in your mind. Does that take away from your job? No. But guess what? If you have Christ and Scripture inside of you, when you go and do your job, guess what's going to make you be a better employer? Because Jesus calls us to be the best employer on our job. God calls us to do our best, not for the paycheck, which the paycheck is nice, don't get me wrong, right? But we do the best because we are servants of the high God who calls us to do the best that we can. And so when we follow these things, when we are obedient to him, we can do all of these things. And when we are planted, when we are obedient, when we are planted, what does it mean to be planted? It means, listen, a couple weeks ago, we bought some plum trees, I think they were. Yeah, plum trees. And I had to, I'm out there digging the hole and stuff like that. I thought, man, am I digging my own grave or what here? Digging these holes and putting these plum trees in, and then you put the dirt on top of them. And every time I stepped on the dirt, it would go down more. And I'm like, where is all this dirt going? But the deeper you get the roots and the more dirt you get on top of them, the better it is that they will take hold. And they will eventually produce fruit in the right season. That's no different than us. When you come to Christ, you got to start digging the hole. I don't know if you understood what I just said. When you come to Christ, you got to start digging the hole. Why are you digging the hole? Because you're going to bury your old self inside there as deep as you can get it. And on that mulch, all on that that compost, all that crap and all that stuff that you put on the bottom is the roots of the new you that will be established there. But guess what has to be buried? All of your old stuff. All of your old life has to be buried down so that you can be planted. And what happens when you're planted by a stream of water? You're constantly watered. What does that mean? Being planted by streams of water, what is a stream of water? The stream of water, if you know anything about Scripture, is often known as the move of God. And so when you're planted in a stream of water that is the move of God, you'll be constantly feeding your roots, which will grow up to a big tree. And when you grow up and you do all of these things that you're supposed to do, what's going to happen? You'll produce fruit. All because you are obedient. All because you chose to follow Him. Do you take joy in the law of the Lord? Too many followers of Jesus do not. I have to be honest with you. I find too many people going, I just can't read Scripture. I can't do this. It's so hard. I feel like I'm trudging through. Listen, love it. Live it. And let it get inside here. Whether you understand it or not, read it. And when you don't understand something, go on a journey to figure that out. It's not a race to see who can finish from Genesis to Revelations, right? We're not talking about a race here. What we're talking about is the only race that I'm running is the race that God has me going to the kingdom of God. I once took 5 years actually, to read through the whole entire Bible. It was the 5 years before my daughter graduated from high school. I took a Bible, it was a journal Bible, and what I did was I decided I was going to start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelations, and every chapter I wrote a little note on the side of it for her or her future husband or her family. It was one of the most enjoyable times of my life, going through that Bible in that way. But it took me 5 years. We must allow the root system of the tree that we are to get down deep into the river of life that is Jesus Christ, that is God the Father who's with us. But we must learn to love the Word of God, the law, this book. We must learn to love it. We must learn to love and take delight in following Him and to do what is right. Listen, too many of us love to do what is wrong. We need to start loving to do what is right. Love to do what Jesus tells you to do. Learn to love it. Those things that you're doing that you know you're not supposed to be doing, stop doing them and stop loving them. Put them off. Put them away. I used to... My grandmother was a... Our grandmother was a... Your mother was a chain smoker. I mean, she would literally one cigarette after another. And my prayer was, Lord, will you just make them sick to her? So as she smoked that cigarette, she'd get sick. Well, the Lord didn't answer my prayer. She kept doing it. So I thought one day I went over to her house and I grabbed her pack of cigarettes and I took the ends of them and I dipped them in wax, every end of her cigarette. And then I put them back in the pack. I'll never forget, as I'm out mowing her yard with the mower running, I could hear her, Jason! She knew exactly what I had done and why I had done it. She did. That's exactly what she did. She cut it off and smoked it anyway. But I thought, I'm still going to try. Listen, if you love doing something, I know it's hard to overcome our sin. But do you love that sin enough to give up eternity? Do you love the sin of your old life enough to stop you from having a relationship with God who can pull you out of those things? Be obedient to Him. Learn to love Him and love His ways. Learn to consume what the Lord has for us. Listen, the truth of the matter is that you are what you consume, right? I mean, if you sit there and watch hours on hours, Belinda, of how to raise chickens, you know, that's what we're going to consume, right? Oh, wait, I'm speaking about myself here. So, but the truth of the matter is that if you consume rubbish, guess what's going to come out? If you consume bad things, guess what's going to come out? If you consume good things, guess what's going to come out? Good things. So be planted by the stream of water and do good things. Because here's a very important part. The very important part about this is that Jesus, or the psalm tells us, is that not only should we be obedient, but then he goes right on to say, let me read it. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season. I've said this multiple times before, but if you're not producing fruit, then what are you producing? If you've been a Christian for more than 3 days, I don't know why I picked 3 days, it sounded good. But if you've been a Christian for any length of time and you haven't produced fruit in your relationship, then what are you producing? Your relationship with Christ should be producing fruit. And I'm not just meaning children, by the way. Let me be very open and honest with you here. Children are a fruit that we produce, right? We have if you have children, you should be sharing the gospel with them. They should be seeing you move. They should be seeing you read the Bible. They should be seeing you worship. They should be seeing you do all of those things. And that's very, very important for them to see. But producing fruit doesn't stop with our children. If you're not, if your children have grown like ours, then what fruit are you producing? Who can you point to and say, look, I've helped them grow in their relationship with Christ. I have grown in my relationship with Christ. If it isn't, then you're not producing the fruit, which means that you have to go back to, am I planted by the stream of water? Am I deep enough? Are my roots deep enough? Am I doing enough? Am I obedient enough? Am I all these things that Psalms 1 just told us to do? You need to be producing fruit. You need to. Because Psalms tells us, as well as Jesus, by the way, this isn't just Psalms. Jesus later tells us the same thing, that if you're planted, you will produce fruit. If that wasn't enough, then this next verse should be, in all that he does, he prospers. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and it does not, and its leaf does not wither. But he prospers in all that he does. You know that when you're blessed and you're following God, you'll prosper in every event that comes in your life. I know some of you are looking at me going, wait a minute. Bad things happen to good people who still prosper through those bad things. You know that? You can take a bad thing that happens to you and you can still prosper out of it. Because God turns everything from evil to good. All those bad things, he's making into something good. So when you're going through something difficult, start to ask the Lord, how am I going to prosper? If I have my relationship with God, I'm obedient with him, I'm following him, then how am I going to prosper in this? Lord, I'm having difficulty seeing that, so open my eyes and let me see how I'm going to prosper in this. How am I going to move forward in this? Because the Lord isn't going to keep you in the depths. He's going to allow you to prosper and move forward. So ask him, how am I going to prosper in this? Because all of us in this room, you may not want to produce fruit. Maybe you don't care about producing fruit because you're too lazy or you just don't want to do it. But the truth of the matter is we all want to prosper. We all want good things. None of us want to, I don't want to prosper. I just want to be status. I just want to be in the dumps all the time. No, you don't. You want to prosper like anyone else. You want to move forward. You want to be better than the way you were. I mean, that's our dream to have, right? As parents, our dreams were make sure that our kids' life are better than our lives. And years and years and years of that went on and on and on. The reality of it is that we all want to prosper. So listen, if you want to prosper, then be obedient to God. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel here, so I need to throw this in, right? I'm not saying because if you follow God, nothing bad's going to happen. You're going to have lots of riches and all of these things. That's what the prosperity gospel says. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you follow God, God will take the bad things that you're going through, that he's going to change you in, and it's going to set you up to be a better person. That doesn't mean that he removes the bad thing from your life, which is a really hard thing for some people to grasp a hold of. Sometimes you have to go through, Michael, sometimes you have to go through cancer to be prosperous on the other side. Jason, sometimes you have to go through a UTI to be prosperous on the other side. It doesn't mean that we're devoid of our issues. It means that we can see how the Lord is going to prosper us in the middle of the situation because we are obedient to him. Jesus was obedient to his Father, but yet he still had to endure the cross. Why? Because that's what he was sent for. We must learn that as we are obedient, as we are planted by the streams of water, as we are following him, we will find ourselves and we will be planted by the streams of water and we will be prosperous, as the word says. The next chapter or the next verse says, the wicked are not so. Back when I was in my business days, I used to tell people all the time, and this is, I used to say, don't repeat this because this isn't true, but karma will get them. That's what I used to say all the time. And they would look at me and go, what do you mean? I said, listen, just do the right thing, and the right thing will respond to you. Do the bad thing, and eventually the bad thing's going to get you. That's true. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it takes, listen, there's some people that I'm still waiting. Okay, God, when's that bad thing going to come? You can take care of that person, right? They need to be taken care of, and it hasn't happened yet. But eventually it will happen. Not that we want anything bad to happen to anyone. We must learn to be obedient, and we must learn to follow him. We must learn to be prosperous in all that he does, because the wicked will not stand in the judgment, is what the next verse says. The truth of the matter is that honest conversations require being honest. You know, and I really dislike when someone comes up and they start to blame all of their issues on something else. There's something about it that crawls up into my skin and goes, ooh, it's a parasite inside my skin, honey. I need to do a parasite cleanse, I guess, huh? Right? But there's something about it when someone, you know, just comes up and they begin to blame everything on someone else. Oh, I was this way because my parents did this, or I was this way because this happened to me, or this way happened to me. Do those things affect you? Yes, absolutely. But guess what? You made the choice to make that decision. You made the choice to do something stupid. You made the choice to go that route. You made the choice to do those things. So stop making that choice. Think differently. Walk differently. Go differently. I'm not taking away the influence that people and things have happened to you in your life. But ultimately, it's your choice to choose today, right here, moving forward, to follow the old way or the new way. And so it is your choice. We have to learn to have honest conversations with God. And when I say that, what I mean is, it's time to be honest about you. See, we like to be honest. We like honesty from other people, but we don't like to have honesty about ourselves. To go before the Lord and say, I messed up. I'm a sinner. I have departed from you. I've put you at arm's length because I did this. Whatever this is, we must be honest with the Lord. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here, but the truth of the matter is this. If we aren't honest with God, then who are we honest with? As I said before, God already knows everything about you. He knows everything that you've done. He knows every thought inside your head. There isn't one action or one thought that's inside your head that God goes, wow, that surprised me. Nothing you have said, done, or will do will ever surprise God. He already knows it. So why do we hold it from him? Why do we hold those things back? Give it to him and allow him to take it and do what he's supposed to do with it. Change it into something good for us so that we can be obedient to him and find ourselves prosperous in the future or in the moment. Do you have an honest relationship with God? Is your faith real, or are you just a ploy to get to heaven? See, an honest relationship with Jesus, an honest relationship with God would say, listen, I'm going to come to you when I make a mistake because I love you and you love me. An honest relationship between a husband and a wife, you're going to go to your husband or wife when they make a mistake and you're going to say, listen, I made a mistake. You're going to go to a family member when you make a mistake and say, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. You're on it. And guess what happens when you do that? Most of the time, your relationship is stronger because of that. That's why husband and wives have such a close relationship with each other, because we have been honest with each other. When you're honest with God and you tell God, listen, I messed up. I need your help. I'm sorry for not looking for it before, but I need it here. God's going to help you. He's going to be there to pull you out of that. It may not be easy. It may not be comfortable, but God will move you. We must be real. We must be real in our relationship with each other, and we must be real with our relationship with God. The closer you are to someone, the more open you are. The verse, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous man," means that He already knows you. He already knows every decision, every choice, everything that you made, but He also knows the way. That verse, Psalm says, "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." You know, that's a future tense. He didn't say the Lord knows the path or the paths of the righteous. He knows the way. He knows the direction. He knows the choices. He knows the walk, the path that you're going. So why don't we just be honest with Him? Why don't we come to an honest place with ourselves and say, "Lord, I'm not a very good Christian. I need your help." One of the things the devil often does, and I've shared this before, is he will come to you and he will tell you all of your faults. And you can sit there and argue with him all you want about, "No, I'm not that way. I'm this way." Blah, blah, blah. Listen, maybe that's just me in my mind and I have those arguments. But you know what happens when he starts reminding me of those things? Yep, I am. You're right. That's what I'm reminding you of this. I know I've said this recently, but I want to remind you of this. Don't argue with the devil. Are you a sinner? Yes. When he reminds you of your sin, yes, I messed up. But God is going to forgive me. I'm going to Him right now to ask Him to forgive me. When the devil convicts you, use that to cause you to be convicted, to go to the Lord. And be honest with Him. Don't go to the Lord and say, "I was this way because she made me do it." Or as Adam said in Genesis, "The woman made me do it." He didn't take ownership of biting that fruit. He blamed it on Eve. "The woman made me do it. This woman you gave me." If you have a real relationship with Jesus, it's not one-sided. You will tell, instead of telling Him everything you ever want, and you have this laundry list of all of these things, "I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this." Why not have a real relationship? You know, who wants to have... I'm running out of time, but I just want to say this. Who wants to have a friendship or a relationship with someone that just talks about themselves all the time and never gives you a chance to talk about what's going on in your life? I don't want that. I think I struck a nerve over here, sorry. But I don't want that. I don't want to have a relationship with someone that just comes up to me and says, "I want this and I want this and I want that, I want this and I want that." Do you think Jesus wants a relationship with someone who always just comes to Him and says, "I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that"? No. Jesus wants a relationship with someone that comes and says, "You are King, you are mighty, you're on top, you're everything, you're all powerful, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, I need you." And then stop. Shut your hole and know your role and listen to Jesus and what He's going to tell you how to move forward. Sorry. Stop telling Jesus what you need and start telling Him who He is. Stop telling Jesus your laundry list of requests and start praising Him for who He is. This is what Psalms is all about. It's a praise to God, and we're praising Him for who He is, but we're also having an honest conversation about it. But sometimes we just need to be honest. And we need to give Him a chance to respond. It's not difficult. I keep saying this, but it's not. It's not difficult to be obedient and to serve Him. But when you are, you're blessed. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. If you're obedient by serving Him, you will be blessed. live like the world and do evil things, you'll get evil results. Another one of my grandfather's sayings. Do evil things, win evil prizes. Truth of the matter is if you're living evil and you're doing evil things, then why do you expect to be blessed by God? See, this is what keeps me up at night. Why do people expect to be mean-spirited, mean-hearted, angry, doing all of the wrong things, but then expect to receive the blessings of God or from us or from someone else? God wants you to do the right thing. He wants you to choose to follow Him. Be obedient to what He has already told you. Too many people are going, I wish the Lord would just tell me what to do. He has. It's right here. It's called the Bible. Open it up and read it. I wish the Lord would just direct my path. He is. Will you stand with me, please? It's time that we have. Listen, the reason why I'm starting with Psalm 1 is because it's the beginning of Psalms. No, I'm kidding. The reason why I'm starting with Psalms 1 is because it's the setup to us having a honest summer full of conversations with God. You got to be right with God to have an honest conversation with Him. That's just, I mean, I'm sorry, but that is the simple truth. The simple truth is that if you're living your life as a sinner, it's going to be hard to have a relationship with Jesus. You're not going to hear from the Holy Spirit. You're not going to hear those things. So it's time to choose to have a relationship where you're following Jesus, where you're putting to bed all of those old things, all of those bad things, all of those things that have been plaguing you for all this time. Put them to rest. Be obedient and serve Him. Psalm 1 ends by saying, but the way of the wicked will perish. My friends, I don't want to perish. I want to have everlasting, eternal life in heaven, in the kingdom of God with Him. There's so much theology we could talk about right here, but I'm going to leave it here and just say, be blessed by being obedient. Be blessed by being planted by the stream of waters. Be blessed and produce fruit. Be blessed in your relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing in our lives. Lord, some of us really do need to shut our mouths, and I'll be the first one to admit, so do I. And so, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, we ask you, move in this place. Come and move us. Speak to our hearts and show us where we have evil ways in our life, where we have been wicked in our ways, where we have stood in the way of sinners, took advice from people that are evil, where we have sat in the seat of scoffers. Lord, we don't want those things. We want you. We want to live with and for you. And so help us, Lord, overcome those things in our lives that we can't overcome on our own. In fact, we come to you right here, Father. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into our life. Convict us of these things as we lay them down on the cross, as we lay them down on the altar to you and say, they are yours, Lord. They're not mine. I don't want them anymore. I can't use them. They have kept me from you for way too long. And so I'm giving them to you and I'm walking away from them right now. I'm casting out people in my life. I'm casting out things in my life that I no longer need because they were bad influences that took me down the path of wickedness. These instruments that the devil used to pull me down, I'm giving to you to use to bring me closer to you. It starts with a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today or watching at home online and you've never given your life to Christ before, it's as simply as confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believing in your heart that He died on the cross for us and that He is the King. He is our salvation. When you do those two things, you can have everlasting eternal life is what the scripture tells us. Confess with your mouth that you have done wrong. Bring it to Jesus. Set it at His feet. And then believe in your heart. Choose to do the right thing. Choose to move forward. Choose to take the next step and follow Him. Lord, help us to do that today. Help us to follow You. We glorify You, honor You, and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We invite you to come forward if you'd like. We would love to have an opportunity to pray with you. These altars are open. If you have something to leave, leave it here. God will take it, but you got to bring it to Him. Let's worship together. Hey, Michael, come on up. I should have done this while you're right up there, but come on up. Kimberly, you can come up too. You're more than a sidekick. I'm bringing Michael up because I think some of us need to hear. Ooh, hold on, we got to part a little bit ways. There's too much power between you and I. So there's some wonderful news that Michael got this week, and I just want to share it with us because I don't want to share it with everyone here. If you haven't already heard, Michael, I'm going to ask Michael to share, but it's wonderful news about his journey in cancer. But I want you to hear this because this is what God does. This is how God prospers you through bad situations.
1,264 days ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. Earlier this week, we found out that I'm now cancer-free.
Yeah.
And that is because of love and the blessings of God. There is no other explanation for that. I should not be here. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of God's kingdom. And if you allow Him, He will work through you. And He will make a difference in your life and the lives of those people around you.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. I wanted him to share that because I think for those that are still struggling, who are still on that journey, they need to know that God will deliver you. You just have to be planted by the streams of water and be obedient to Him. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all of the wonderful things You have done in our lives. We're so thankful to how wonderful You are to us. We don't deserve it, but You are anyway. Lord, help us this week to go forward being planted as we are obedient in You and Your word, to follow You and to do the things that You've called us to do. Be glorified in our life and in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.